In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, two van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible two-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. Hey, what's happening out there, Buck 50 runners? We're back in the studio with Mr. William Presson.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Glad to be here, as always.
It's fun to be in the new year, yep. Working on new things. We sometimes do this, sometimes we don't, but today is officially January the 16th. So as things progress, you'll know when we record this. And if, as all things, all rules are subject to change at the management's discretion. So if we tell you something today and by race day that's changed, that is in the guidebook, which I'm sure you guys have all read.
Yep.
Multiple times, probably. How many? We have some guests today. We haven't introduced them yet, but that's going to be the first question that we ask them. Dave, how many times have you read the Buck 50 guidebook?
New York Times bestseller. Now, Dave, you mentioned it's the 16th of January. How many teams do we have registered for this year's race?
100!
Woo!
100. It's always a goal to have 100 teams. We've now achieved that for the third time. Last year we had 108. We have a goal of 120 for this year. And I feel optimistically good.
Yeah, in years past, it seems like we usually get anywhere from what? 15 to maybe 20.
20 to 23 is about typical January registration.
So there's some floating around out there.
So we're wishful thinking. What was it you told me earlier today when we were talking about goals? My goals?
Oh.
You didn't use the word lofty.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even remember now.
Because I was talking about the half marathon we want to do and we're going to do in July.
Yeah. They're, like to have 300. They're lofty.
300 runners. We'll see. Well, let's welcome Mr. and Mrs. Gardner to the show. Tim and Sabrina.
Big crowd here today, guys.
Fired up for the new year. So go welcome, Bucks. Guys. Welcome.
Hello.
There you go. You'll have to forgive us. Sabrina's fighting a little bit of a cold, but she's tough. She's a warrior. Tim's pretty much always tough and always running.
Running. What I got to keep up with.
How many miles did you run last year? 2,600?
No, it was 2,260 plus or minus a few more.
2,200 miles in the 2024 calendar year.
That's correct.
But it was also the first year I ran over 1,000.
That's not a small number. Not a small number.
Nope.
Because here's the thing about that. Like, you can't afford to be sick, take vacation, leave. Like, that's a pretty steady pace. You're out there on a regular basis all the time.
You run in during vacation.
How many hours was it that you participated? Was it 400? It's pretty significant.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number of hours. You said it was more than most people work in a year.
Well, that's my hateful thought process, right? And people's efforts in this world sometimes that aren't exactly, you know, putting forth efforts on a regular basis. But as we just mentioned, we would like to know, how many times have you read the Buck 50 guidebook, Tim? You've been a team captain multiple years, so.
I think it's seven years. Every year but the first. My son Daniel ran the first year of the Buck 50, and then after I saw it, then I was hooked. I've read it more than once, probably every year, and then I'll go back to it for specific information.
So we're talking multiple times.
Absolutely.
All right. Sabrina.
Okay, since I'm on Tim's team, I've read it once the first year.
So you've heard about it.
No, I've actually read through it.
You have read it. Okay.
I read through it from start to finish.
Okay.
And then after that, I just kind of go in and look for what I want.
I will tell you this. 2 years ago, I went back and made highlights. So at a minimum, if you're not going to do us any other favors other than train for the race, which is very important, at least read the highlighted information.
I remember when we used to have to watch the video and take a test.
The test has worked out well.
Yeah.
I love the test. I'm thankful that I don't stand near where the teams are taking the test on race day.
It's a group effort.
It's fine if it's a group effort, but I'm sure it would drive me absolutely crazy to see the people who don't know the simple things that they probably need to know to be prepared.
But see, we have Tim.
You just asked Tim. Well, that's fine. That's what the team captains are for. They're there to, you know, provide advice. So you said your son ran in the 2017 Buck 50.
For Go LBC.
He ran,
Baptist Church.
Very nice.
Yep.
Yeah, that was before we knew what it was all about, because the first time I saw it advertised, we were at the City Run.
Okay.
And I remember seeing the booth, and I remember seeing the flyer, and I remember seeing 150-mile race. And I looked, and my friend Cheryl Nicely walked in, and she was looking too, and I just kind of kept walking because I thought 150 miles, we're not running that. And I didn't really stop to read it and see what exactly it was. But I know Cheryl kept a brochure, so she was secretly planning in her head her team.
That's right, because that's how you became the Paint Valley Prison Break.
That's correct.
In 2018.
Because now that I feel like I talked to you on the phone at one point, and you told me that story of teachers from Paint Valley.
Yes.
And some employees who worked at the prison.
Yep.
And that's how you came up with the Paint. That's a really phenomenal name. Well, I really do like it.
Tim and Daniel and Johnny and I were driving to the winter hike in Hocking Hills.
Oh, I love the winter hike.
And we were
doing it this Saturday.
Yeah, we were talking about the Buck 50, and I told them that we needed to make a team. I was talking to them about it, and then Daniel started, his wheel started turning, and then Tim was sitting there driving, and he decided that he was going to take it on. So we did it.
How much did you run before? I mean, I know you run all the time. Were you always a runner?
I always ran. I ran in the military primarily, and then when my younger boys started running cross country, then it's a small, Paint Valley is a small team, then we just run with them. So
okay.
We started running with them during practice, got back into it a little more, and then the Buck 50 happened, and it's been full steam ahead since.
Yeah, you've been running, I mean, lots.
Yeah. It's fun.
You run all the local races. Where do you
Pretty
run
much.
Outside the area? You run in Columbus?
Yeah, I've run nationwide. I ran nationwide this year. I'm not a big fan of marathons as much as trail races. I like the trail races a little more.
Okay. What's your favorite? If you're going to run I'll use the term perfect race, but what I mean is perfect distance. Like, what's your favorite distance of a race to run?
Probably a 50K trail race, because I'm not super fast, but I've got some endurance and I keep going. So the 50K trail race is probably, I'm shooting for 100 miler this year. So that's my goal.
What's a 50K trail race? About 33 miles?
31.
31. How long will that take you?
I've done it under 6 hours a couple different times. Chris Stengel's race, Yodi did that a couple years in a row. Got the Alpha Award on that one for an old guy.
What's that category? What's that
age? Sub six. Well, it's the Alpha is just under 6 hours completing the race.
Okay.
I think
okay.
In under 6 or 6.5 hours, depending on whether it's Yodi or the big deal.
So that's kind of a target goal to finish under six, isn't
it? I mean, if there's an award out there, you might as well shoot for it.
Yeah. Aim high.
I'm interested to see the results from this year's Buck 50 when we have all these different age categories.
I'm excited because I think we're gonna be real strong in the.
You'll be in the Masters group.
The Masters group
because
yes.
We're old.
We haven't figured out a good name. Like I feel like calling the Masters group sounds pretty natural.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we call the like regular group? We've talked about this a couple times, and I feel like now that it's almost like it was all the same before,
mm-hmm.
but now that we're establishing Masters for the 40 age average and older, then under that has to be a name also.
The Grasshoppers.
That sounds too small.
Oh yeah.
We talked about the little, we have to go back and listen to my own podcast because I feel like we talked about this on an episode and we maybe were coming up with something that made sense and now I can't recollect what that was. Do you remember that, Mr. William?
No. Call them the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks, that's what it was.
Little Buckers.
I was thinking Bambies and that didn't sound right.
Just don't call them Fast Buckers.
Fast Buckers. There's the people that try to trick us up here with some of their names here and there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We really do. I love team names. Love team names.
Especially the more creative.
I kind of go back and forth. Still probably my all-time favorite team name is the Frankfurt Assassins.
Are they still around?
No, they've kind of fell off. Mm-hmm. We have a new one this year, though. That's always been one of my... I heard of a potential team that was going to utilize this name way back in the day. They were going to be a 5-person team and they were going to be called the Trail Cowboys. And no one ever used that name, but I recently talked to someone and they are taking me up. So the Trail Cowboys are coming this year and they're going to be good, I think.
I take it they're an all-male team.
Nope.
Really?
Their team captain's female.
Really?
She's a beast of a runner.
Cowpokes.
Cowpokes.
Yeah, good one.
So, first time you hear about the Buck 50, you learn about the City Run.
Yep.
You decide to put in a team. 2018 race. Tell me about your first Buck 50 experience, what you thought. You've obviously been back, so you liked it, but tell me what you thought.
It was quite a bit of coordination at first, just to get in the gear. Once you get the gear, it's a lot easier every year. You always have changes in runners, so you always got to count on as a team captain having backups and having primary backups, secondary. I've had people that have dropped the day of the race, the week of the race. Last year, I think, was the first year ever that I ran with a 10 that I registered with, because usually there's always changes.
So I hear about this. How do you approach somebody and say, we have our 10, but we need an alternate, and they just... like agree to that to be kind of on the back burner of their training and they're ready?
Yeah, maybe they're not ready to commit yet or they have some other races. I've got a guy who's an alternate, Trey Tompkins. He's an absolute beast doing the Georgia Death Race in Boston. He's going to be an alternate for our team. And we had him, I believe, last year. He's just an animal. So he's a great first alternate because he'll probably run if I have somebody drop.
So as a team captain, being speedy,
that's a great thing. Okay. You always have to be looking for that. You know, it's like NASCAR. It's like basketball, football. Somebody gets injured. You got to have somebody there to replace them.
Yeah. If you're a running woman in Chillicothe and you're not on a team, Tim will approach you and he will talk to you. And it was very awkward when he first started doing that but anyway, that's just Tim.
He's trying to recruit and help.
Yeah, he'll recruit anybody. He'll just start randomly talking to somebody wherever we are if he thinks they run. And
absolutely.
Yes. He's not invading your privacy. He just wants to help the Buck 50
grow.
Yeah,
so don't be afraid of him.
Yes.
He's safe.
I've picked up ladies that have been on the Winter Challenge that lived in Cincinnati that I'd never met before. I saw she was doing miles and she was on her team for a couple years. She was fantastic.
I'm glad we've got that recorded so I can copy that line out and we'll just use it someday. Be like, Tim's been picking up women, guys.
Golly.
With a mixed team, it's tough. It's hard to find fast ladies.
So you're telling me you're focused on staying in that mixed team category.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. It's it's harder, but I have my wife on my team, so
yay.
You know, that's just great. But so I got to have at least four ladies, but I like to go in as a captain. You want to go 5-5, five guys, five ladies. Because then if you do have a drop, you're flexible either way. You can put a guy or a lady on your team.
That's excellent information.
Yes, I always try to go in 5-5.
Excellent. See, I would have thought that those things, for the most part, just shake out in the wash. Like, I like you guys, or you're running the pace that I would like to run, or whatever that is. And so at the end of the day, once we all sign up, then we're either male or mixed just based on that situation. But you're actually recruiting to make sure that you stay in that spot.
Absolutely. And before, I'm not sure, did we always have mixed male and female teams at the very start?
We did not.
I didn't think so.
We started race categories in 2020 once we hit 100 teams.
Okay.
Because I kind of felt like that, I guess for the first 3 years, we just had first, second, and third overall. We didn't have as many teams then. I think we had 38 teams, 73 teams, and an 84, or 74 and 83. So it wasn't until year four in 2020 that we hit 100 teams. And it was like, well, if we're going to have that many teams, I think we can all have categories. And then we've kind of carried that through until this year, where now we're actually going to have those categories times two with age groups.
I think it's a great thing, because then you have ability to compete, because who can compete with the freaks? You know, when they're running five guys, five-minute miles, they're in a different ball game.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think that it'll encourage more people, and it'll add that competitive nature as people are building teams or people are running in the race. We've done a few comparisons. You know, I started looking at that at last year's race. So, for instance, the Blue Collar Track Club had an average age of 25 years of age. And then you had Harvey Lewis's team had an average age of 44 years of age. Like, that's a pretty distinct difference when you're trying to compete in the same category, no matter how strong you are. So that'll be fun to see.
Now, since you bring up categories, if I'm a runner, answer this for me, Dave. If I'm a runner and I've just crossed the finish line, who do I go to immediately to ask right away if I won?
And then when are the results going to be in?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's how it is. You know, if I pass out, stop my watch. You know, stop my watch if I pass out.
Okay, you know what's awesome, Tim, is that When we ran the Buck 10 at CCI, you participated yes. in that with us, and they had that 10K race inside CCI prison. That exact same thing happened there.
On that.
So it's just kind of like, you know, when you're trying to coordinate all that, you need some time, you need some space, you got to think about it, you got to whatever that is. But it was fun in that race, just like, this is definitely like a real race, because we hear the same things here as we do everywhere else.
That's a whole nother dynamic when you start getting swarmed by prisoners saying, what was my time? Did I win? I have no idea.
We told Joe Jenks that we had the results, but we weren't going to give them to him until we walked outside the fence. I'd email them to him. That wasn't true. Those guys were way more than hospitable. It was fun, but
that came for full circle for me. I started at CCI in 1999.
Okay,
where I first started working in the prisons. So to go back to there as I kind of get to my twilight of my career was kind of neat to be able to do that. And there were guys there that I knew from being in prison at CCI and at RCI, where
okay.
I worked. So it was kind of neat to see some of those guys.
But we will, to answer your question, William, there will be a guy at the bottom of University Hill that you'd want to go speak with that'll give you those answers after the race.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he usually has a green suit on.
Standing there where the Duncan is.
Yeah, the now Dunkin' Donuts. If you go talk to him, he'll give you the race results.
Sounds like a plan.
No, but we've gotten better. It used to take us multiple days to shake out race results, and I feel like we're posting those things the next day in most cases, aren't we?
Yeah, I think the best thing that we've done is we at least get a preliminary out. We do survey the team captains as they come through to get an idea like, hey, did you run the course as it was designed? Did you have any injuries, anything like that? We found early on in the races that we had people that we had, for example, we had 1 year, the Freaks were going to win, but they only had four of their five guys, and they were still going to win, even if they had a time penalty, which we do assess now for something like that. It's more impressive than it should be, you know, a detriment to them. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we do look for, but usually we get preliminary out the next day. We get a final posted probably come Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll have to be a little bit heavier on that this year because of there's just more information that we need with ages and then what mix of your 5 or 10 runners are male or female.
Yeah, and we want to put the emphasis on the fact that we would rather the information and the results we get out there to be correct the first time.
Oh my gosh,
as opposed
yes.
to having to go back and find an error. So that's where the preliminary has come out really useful. You know, we'll at least get you an idea of, you know, what your total time was before we look at any kind of penalties, if they even apply, and then we would get those final results posted out.
So for the record, penalties are this. If you skip a leg, that's going to be an hour penalty this year. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's just going to add an hour to your time. If you have an injury and you need to swap runners, that'll be a 20-minute add. That's always been the case. That's kind of like the Joe Jinks rule that William was talking about.
That's 20 minutes. If another runner on your team that's already on there runs their leg, not bringing in a fresh set of legs.
Correct.
You can't bring in a fresh set. That would be like a skip.
Gotcha.
So your substitutions have to come
from within the team.
From your runners.
Yep.
And not your drivers. If your drivers run for you, that's fine. But that's going to be considered a skip of an hour, not... Because to me, I want it to be the people that signed up that are in
right.
the race. And in most cases, for most teams, it doesn't really, they're all here to have a good time and have fun. And so those things don't get too crazy. But when it gets down to the competitiveness, we want to try to keep as equal of a field as we can. And so far that seems to have worked pretty well. Haven't got too much negative feedback in any of that. I will tell you this year, earbuds, headphones, if you have them, you're getting a 1 hour penalty added to your team. You don't run with earbuds.
I never,
do you, Tim?
ever run
get
with music.
Get back together or run with music.
We like to listen to nature
yeah.
and hear the cars coming.
That's what I want to hear. That's
Those
what I want to hear.
Shocks are okay though, right?
Nope. That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Negative.
Really?
If you've heard that, that's contraband information.
The ones that are outside your ears?
That's illegal.
Yeah, you've never been able to run the Buck 50 with music.
And here's why. I don't want any of them because I don't want to get in the business of trying to police which brand you have or
right.
how you had them or how you wore them. I've worn those before. I can appreciate that they're, quote, better or safer than, but they still create a distraction that I don't feel like it's warranted in this race.
But you can have a phone playing music or a
Absolutely.
Speaker.
Yep.
Right. And I've even shared with Dave, like, I, you know, walking around the house, how many times I have headphones in and I don't even notice someone standing behind me, let alone a car driving
it's
up.
It's kind of fun
me.
Running up on people that have those in there because you scare the bejesus out
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, it's like what happens
even,
in horror
Even when you don't
too.
Do it on purpose because they're in another world.
Yeah, it just is distracting. And when you have an open road race and cars are everywhere and... You just want the best opportunity for people to be as safe as possible, and I just want that to continue.
This episode of Running Off at the Mouth is brought to you by Homeland Credit Union. With convenient locations in Chillicothe, Circleville, Greenfield, and Waverly, Homeland Credit Union is here to serve you. Whether you're looking to open an account, apply for a loan, or explore solutions for all your financial needs, Homeland is the place to go. We're proud to have Homeland Credit Union as a sponsor and appreciate their commitment to our community. To learn more, visit them at homelandcu.com or stop by one of their branches today. Homeland Credit Union, your partner for life's financial journey.
All right, Sabrina, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, yay.
You've been runner five multiple years.
Yes.
It's probably the leg that people are most curious about because
it's the easiest.
It is the easiest. So if they're new to the race or they're new to running, it's a coveted spot. So let's talk about those three different legs that they're going to run in the race. So the first leg five, quote, new leg five as of
yes.
this past year,
is a little over 5 miles. And when you start at the nursing home, you run a little bit and then you go up a little hill. So if you're going fast, you're going up a little hill fast. So you can get a little winded. You have to be careful not to start out too fast. And I'm usually very excited and hyper. And so I start too fast. But something happened last year and I started fast and I kept going fast and I went fast the whole time.
So you're feeling it.
Yeah.
You're certainly not the only one who starts too fast when they leave the chute. That's hard to hard to pace yourself.
But it was a nice leg. You go down and you get on the bike path. And then if it's dark, which mine was, it's kind of creepy. I mean, I'll say it's creepy because you're on the bike path in the dark with trees on either side. And then there's one spot where you go over a creek. And so there's a bridge. You know, there could be trolls under there. It gets creepy. You think about all the scary things you learned when you were a kid and were afraid of, you know, running in your room and jumping on your bed so something wouldn't come get you. That's how it is on that one. And then once you get down to where you can, then you pass the cemetery. That's always fun at night too. And then you get down to the houses where you can start seeing lights and the people who live in the house who have the golden retrievers on the corner.
And friendly golden retriever.
Yes, yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And then you get, then you pass the buck 50 people who are telling you to which way to go. Go out on
550.
Is that 550 there? It's
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, the main drag there, and
I didn't realize that's 550.
It's like most roads in Ross County.
What else is it called?
It's also probably Main Street, right? It's probably Main Street.
Yeah. And then the worst part of that leg is actually once you get over on the other side of 550 and you're on the asphalt path
mm-hmm.
and you kind of, you think you're going to get to the path that heads to the school and it seems to take, it's actually a mile, about a mile from there.
Once
I'm
you
thinking
get,
it is. I hope I'm not misquoting that. It just seems like forever.
There is nothing worse than the like, I call those like the eternal treadmill.
Mm-hmm. And like it's, I'm running, is a slight upgrade.
I'm almost there. I think I'm almost there. I should be done,
yes.
but I'm not done.
Yes.
But I got to keep running.
That's it.
My teammate's waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
Who's usually runner six that you pass off to?
Ken.
Okay. Oh, yes. Ken.
Ken Berrien.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be fun at Edina, right? Like you get to see your teammates for the
yes.
first time.
Yep. Major transition zone.
I've never been there other than like by the time I get there, it's usually like super dark or closed or not much happening.
It's fun, but Ken is so fast that, and Tim is usually in the second van and I'm in the first van. So he'll say hi really fast and switch all the vehicles. And so being runner five, I don't have time to stretch or do anything because they take our van. I have to move my stuff and get in a car and then we head back to our church where we're staying.
Okay.
And, I'm like, wait a minute, can't I stretch? No, we got to go. Tim, we got to go. We got to go. Move, move, move. So
what runner have you been?
I've been runner one, and that was during the COVID year, the sweltering COVID year.
Yeah.
Get to go, what was that, Pocala, the hill there. And then six, when it was the OG 26. If you haven't run the original Gangster 26 in the summertime, in the afternoon, mm-hmm. that's a good one. And then
was that the last year we had that regular, you know, I think it was after
I think
that.
I did it 3 years in a row and I'm like, I'm sticking a fork in this 26 and then I went to eight and then you changed it. I think
sounds right.
Yep.
I'm excited for the new, I almost actually Will Frizzell. Was it when Will was here or Greg was on the show? I think it was when Will was on the show. We started thinking about going back to the original 26.
I'd be for it. I remember coming up, there's always hill after hill after hill on 26. It's your last leg. It's hot. And I call it the Come to Jesus Mead Smokestack. Because the last hill, you turn the corner and you can see the Mead Smokestack. And that is your last hill. And it's down Patton Hill.
After that,
it is just, you've never been so happy to smell money.
Yep. It's a good one. But it's not exactly like the change was the gravy train, because there's still a couple nice hills left after that still, too.
It subtracted a couple hills.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, because we went out to run at one time, and I was thinking, okay, it's going to be better. And then we were running and running, and I turned the corner, you know, to miss the big hill, and there was another hill.
Yep. We got, that leg has been called Cindy's Revenge before. It might be called like Fool's Gold or something like that, because it's like you think you've got it whipped, but it's really not done.
Is that Cindy Freeman?
Yep, named it after Cindy. Yep.
Awesome.
All right, so now let's go back to 15, because I think 15, we've actually had some discussions that 15 might need to be changed from green to yellow.
I agree.
Okay.
Yes, because it does have multiple hills, and they might not be huge, but it's another one. Here you go, starting out on a hill again, second leg of five. So once again, it's dark, so it's deceiving, and I always go too fast. I had to make myself not go fast this last time, and I actually thought about it and looked at my watch, because there's a hill to start on, and then you kind of even out, and then there are three significant and three noticeable hills, and then in the middle you cross over as a road that can be a little bit busy. I mean, there were two cars on it last year at 1 o'clock in
the
morning.
It's only a two-way stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's Graves Road.
Yep.
And the traffic going east or north and south don't stop. So definitely it's an area to be cautious of.
Right. And there's a fenced yard on the corner where there are horses. So that's fun, because sometimes the horses are right there looking at you. So you can always say hi to the horses. Always notice the animals. It's fun to see the animals.
Cows on leg eight.
And 19 has cattle.
And I hear there's a goat on 26. I haven't seen it yet. Walnut Creek.
Wasn't it
Amanda? I'm sorry, not 26, 16.
16. Amanda Steele said that thing ran with her for a while.
The question
pretty
is,
awesome.
Is did it register as a pacer and have a bib?
Well, it was pre race day.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't
so
have to get
run.
But there has been consideration of adding, like, you can't run with your dog. You can't run with your cat, and now you can't run with your goat either. That's all part of in the guidebook.
In the guidebook. Yeah. Once again, refer to the guidebook.
It is just a fountain of fantastic information that I really just, like William said, it's
the Buck 50 Bible.
The New York Times bestseller. We're surprised. Yeah. Still
now,
waiting on the phone call.
With 15, once you get to the last just under a mile, it's pretty much smooth sailing and all downhill. So the year that it was raining, I think it was the year that it was raining.
2023.
I don't think it was last year. No, maybe it was last year. No, I think it was the year it was raining.
It was 23.
Yeah. So I was coming down the hill, and I had a goal and of what I was going to do. And there were two runners up ahead of me that were about to turn onto
the campground.
Walnut Creek.
Yep. Okay. And I was going faster than them, but I was trying to gain on them. And then there was a car coming from the left from Walnut Creek. And then there was a car to my right that was going the same direction as me. It was actually a van, a Buck 50 van carrying runners. And so I was thinking, okay, I've got to go right. I've got to go around these people and onto Walnut Creek so I can hold my ground and be ahead of them because there's traffic coming from the other direction. And I won't be able to pass them once I get out there. So I swerved around them, and the people driving the Buck 50 people, they yelled, there's a car, da, 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 like that. And I thought, well, I'm the runner and this is my turn. And I just did it. And I went and I passed them and I just kept going.
You used a van pick to pass some runners in the race. That is awesome strategy. I don't think I've heard that before.
Well, I think I got in trouble that year, or it was last year. I can't remember, because when she was coming into Walnut Creek, we were driving on the road to come into the campground, and somebody said, hey, that looks like Sabrina's form. You know, it's funny, as runners, you know, you can from a distance pick out some people's form.
That was this year.
Okay, I got in trouble this year, and we were not ready, and Ken was not
ready.
Because
I was going too fast.
She was going too fast. Ken could not get his stuff on quick enough. She waited there probably 3 or 4 minutes, which cost us. So,
but I don't say bad words. So,
they made you wait in the chute, Sabrina.
Yes. Yep.
I was sad because I ran so fast. And yep. Yeah.
Tim, you got to step it up in this team captain role.
Well, I figured out some people need a little extra time to get ready. So, because the trackers are nice. The trackers are really nice when they're all functioning, because you can see where your team's at.
Yeah.
It didn't affect our place in the end.
Good. But it could have.
It's okay.
Yep, that would have been a bummer.
But man, it's fun. Those little challenges like that, and just challenging yourself to get better and to do things, it's fun.
Each year your goal is to beat the time you had on that particular leg the year before.
Well, it has been the last couple of years for me. I know we're just getting older, so it seems like we would get slower, but I've been feeling a little better injury-wise. I used to get injured all the time, and I haven't been getting injured, so it's nice.
Good, good. Any tricks or thoughts as to why you have less injuries you could share with our audience?
Well, I go to the chiropractor, stretch, I get massages, I wear the right shoes, I don't overtrain. I try not to, you know, being married to Tim.
She's ran more last year and is faster last year than she's probably been in 10 years.
But it sounds like you're doing a lot of like other things to take care of your body.
I think
which
health
is
and
too.
Nutrition also. Yeah.
Certainly goes hand in hand.
I think so.
All right. So let's get to leg 25. You get to finish.
25 is like a little piece of cake.
It's actually one of the nicer like finishes. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think no matter how you look at it, the third leg's the hardest. Like, it's going to be difficult. You're tired. You've been up for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe not have slept as well as you would like, or eat as well as you like, or hydrate as well as you like. So every single runner doing that last third of the race is going to be challenged.
What is it, about 3 1/3 mile? 3.2 something?
Yep, that sounds about right.
So that makes it just perfect. And because my average run when I run would be about 4 miles. So it makes it not as hard because it's shorter than my average run. Okay. So I think about that. And it's really inspiring when you're running by the Huntington people who live there, who put all the signs out for us and have our names on them.
Ah, oh, that is right.
Super,
right
super
there.
Awesome.
Yes. On Toad Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are elaborate.
When
they
you think
are.
Of 100 teams, 100 signs, and they make them custom for each.
Yes,
and
not
more
just
than
like,
that. I've had
more
than one
like
sign.
They're not just like some kind of scribble on a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, they're not like
I've seen glitter
stuff. Yep.
Yeah,
cut out banners. I mean, what a
that's fantastic.
It almost like makes you speechless to think that there's people that are willing to give of themselves to make the experience better for all the runners.
And they keep them from the year before, so if you've done it before, and then they accidentally make another one for you, then you get 2 or maybe 3.
You don't think there's more than one Sabrina out
there? There's two. There are two. I have two. There are two Sabrinas. But anyway, yeah, coming in. So the hard part on that one is once you get to the driveway of the church, you hear all the people in the music back behind the church, but you can't see anything and they can't see you coming in. And so you get sometimes, like, psychologically, I kind of start to get a little bit down, or like, okay, I'm almost done, and I might slow down, and then I have to make myself go faster to go all the way around the parking lot. And then once you come around and they see you, it's good. But it would be good to have someone from your team maybe out there cheering for you to help you get down that driveway. And
it is quite lengthy around there. Mm-hmm. The reason I guess it is that way is we wanted to make that as short as we could for runner 6 taking off for 26. But I can appreciate what you're saying. You got to go all the way around the outside edge of that parking lot.
It's okay.
All right, Tim, you've been 168?
168, that's correct.
What's your favorite of the three?
I really like leg 8, or runner 8, and then now you're going to throw us for a loop to go up Edina Mansion for 28, so I'll reserve my favorites till after this year, but I think that's going to be, Edina Hill always tries to take your soul, so that's going to be a good one to finish.
I've always said that if I ever run in the Buck 50, I will be runner 8. I love
18.
Leg 18 is my first, second, and third favorite leg of the race.
Road race. Now, I like 22 is my favorite by far for trail.
22 is probably the prettiest part of the whole course if you like trail running, even the least bit.
But I think the thing about leg 18 and what turns people off is that most of them run it at night. So when you run leg 18 in the day, it's beautiful.
And, it is.
And that's the only time I've ever run it. And, you know, I was trying to talk to my friend's daughter saying, oh, you're doing leg 18. It's so pretty. And I was recording it as I was running one day. And then she ran it, and she ran it at night. And of course she said, I hated it. You never knew when there was a hill.
That's the best part. Psychologically, if you can't see the hills, your body and your brain doesn't realize it. Give me a hill in the dark.
It's definitely a 50-50 thing, because I know runners who need to study their leg and their information inside and out, know every step that they're going to go. But then there's a lot of runners who would just be quite happy to say, point me in the right direction and I'm gone. Like, I don't need to know how far it is or how hilly it is. I'll just do it.
Yeah, I like that, because then you're not anticipating the part you don't like.
Yeah.
Can't see it coming.
So here is something about leg 18 that's going to be different this year. Same thing for the runners, but the drivers will be following the runners this year on leg 18 because of the park closure.
Yeah, they have to.
And it's kind of a yin and yang. Like,
as long as it's not pouring down rain and the vans don't get stuck on the road, then we're good.
Stick a stick to the road, folks.
Yep. I had a van get stuck right beside me a couple years ago during the rains, during the monsoon rains.
Yeah, we've got that. We've had our once in 20-year rainstorm, so I think we're good for the next couple.
Will it be like that on 19 also?
19 will probably still take the same route that it did for the runners and the drivers, because we can get out that way with the drivers. We just can't have the drivers going right back through the park like we did in the last couple of years because of the construction work that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
18, when you get close, you can start seeing the lights from the light plants and start getting excited because you know it's about over with. But leg 8, where you start out in Clarksburg, to me is the most memorable run, because it really grounds you on why you're doing what you're doing in the Buck 50. There's a lady that puts up signs that people sponsor for people that have passed, that have lost the struggle with addiction. And it's personal to a lot of folks. I think we've all lost somebody, unfortunately, in this fight. And this is what we're doing, why we're doing it. And it's extremely touching when you crest that hill and you see the signs, the tiki torches with the pictures and stuff. It reminds you why you're doing what you're doing with the Buck 50. It's just not a race.
Yeah, Christy Lamon does that. And I remember meeting Christy probably in 2016 or 17, pretty early on. And her son Joe was
battling addiction at that time and was still with us. And then at one point he, you know, lost that challenge, and she's done just a phenomenal job to honor his name and created a scholarship program in his name. She gives out several $1,000s each year, works on multiple fundraisers throughout the year. And that is another one that she does where I think it's $25 to honor someone who has passed, and or you can honor someone who's got on the other side of his addiction.
Recovery.
And I think that's an awesome way to memorialize or honor someone. So, you know, we call that the memory mile. And so for that last mile, as you're coming in on leg 8 to the Browns Chapel Church, you'll see those tiki torches. And at first you know, when you don't know what that is, it really kind of catches you off guard. And then once you realize what it is, I guess that also catches you off guard, because it can get emotional, you know, when you see that, for sure.
And it's real quiet and there's no traffic. It's just solemn.
Yeah.
And it's right by the cemetery, and it just reminds you why you're doing what you're doing. It's more than a race.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could say it better. And, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with this, you know, the Buck 50 was founded to be a funding mechanism for a drug prevention program with Drug Free Clubs of America. And all of the money that we raise goes to support these teens through 8 years. We've had 13,500 kids and invested almost $900,000 into them. So it's been pretty remarkable what a bunch of crazy people running around Ross County for 2 straight days has been able to do.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun with your friends.
We, you know, as we move into year 9, we go back to OUC. I'm excited about that. You guys obviously were a part of that back in those early days. Excited about going back to OUC? Did you love downtown?
It's exciting for that last runner coming in. They'll be coming up. Are they coming up University?
Nope.
No, they're coming up Water Street Hill.
Water Street, and then they'll work their way around towards the Star.
Right.
Then they go up 4th Street, and then they cut over towards James Stengel's place.
Yep.
And then wrap their way back around on, not Pullman. Yeah.
Yep.
It's another 3.2 miler.
It's a big space, so it's nice to have all that space up there. For parking and for the finish, and have people watch it. So
it'll be fun and relaxing up there. I think it'll be a good atmosphere. You can jump in a cold plunge if you want. We got a sauna and a cold plunge booth coming up this year. Do you guys know about that?
Yep.
Oh yeah. I don't even know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be there on Friday and Saturday. I got to get pricing from them guys pretty soon.
Just need a giant kiddie pool and just go jump in it.
It's pretty high tech, man.
I know.
They got like I was kind of, I mean, I didn't know much about, but there's got all kinds of like chillers and ultraviolet cleaners and stuff like that. So, I mean, Tim's sweaty body can get in there.
Sweaty person. There's very few people I know that run. Kurt Shoemaker sweats maybe as much or a little more than me. He's a serious sweater, but. You know, if there was a sweat award, I would be in the tops.
You're up in the sweat
I could rival, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would
be a duel for the ages right there.
Well, luckily, I mean, it's 65 and sunny during the Buck 50 every year, so, I mean, it's not too bad.
No. Except for that COVID year.
Yeah, that really got us for lots of reasons. I know one guy, as William would say, his eyeball exploded during the race.
I don't even know who that would be.
People say that was stress. It wasn't stress. It was heat.
I think you about lost an eyeball, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I really did just about lose.
I think you'd look good with a patch, though. Pirate Dave.
You had a Buck 50 eye patch there for a while, didn't you?
It's still in my pickup truck.
Okay.
Heather McGowan made it, and it hangs from my mirror in my pickup truck. I've always kept it. Just in case, you know.
That was the year I got to be a navigator.
Weren't fast enough.
No, I tore my gluteus medius.
Oh, okay. Not good. Injuries aren't fun for
no.
sure.
No, that was the only year I missed, you know, besides missing the first year.
Well, I appreciate all that you guys have done for us. Tim is our treasurer, the Buck 50. He's on the board. Sabrina's participant in every race, and you guys have become good friends of ours, and I appreciate you. So thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us. It combines the two greatest things outside of my faith, and that's running and trying to keep kids off of drugs in our community. So I think it's a great combination, and I'd like to see more people come out and enjoy our Ross County and the folks that support it.
We need those 120 teams.
Yep.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!